There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hi, talkers. We are hanging out with Lori. She's back from her vacation, and we've got a special guest host, one of our own from the My Talk family, Holly, as I call her, the library. Thanks for hanging out with us, Holly.
Oh, you're welcome. In this hour, we're going to be talking about the Dewey Decibel System in the 700s.
Right. But you guys get it. No. She's always got, if you give her anything, I'm telling you, Holly can give you a fact or something fun that you would not ever know about it. So
I know.
It's a delight.
I wanted to ask you who won the pink tickets, an hour and a half ago.
Oh, it was Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston. We are going to talk about her in a second.
Give me a second here. Andrea Anderson. Andrea from Maple Grove, and she's very, very excited.
She probably has the first pair of tickets.
These might be the first ones, yeah.
Because they go on sale next week at Targerfield. I got to get get tickets.
Yeah. Again, let us arrange our calendars accordingly. Mm-hmm. We're putting that out in the universe.
She's so good. If you've never seen Pink in concert, she's
the best performer.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I have not seen Pink live.
She is so good.
Did you go to the Super Bowl?
She has so many songs.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't go to that show at the Armory, but I saw her at Excel a couple times and Target, and the first time she did her somersaulting.
Oh, she is just, she not only is an amazing artist, she is a performer. She puts
and
on a
has
show.
So many songs. Yeah. She has such a big career. And she also likes to do a cover here and there, like Keith Urban.
That's true. So we've got tickets all week long. We're going to give away more the rest of the week. The concert is at Target Field August 10th. Tickets go on sale November 21st at 10 a.m. But listen this week for your chance to win some right here with Lo J.
Yeah, thank you so much. Okay, well, this was, I'll be discussing this with my mom on the way home today, but we got news today that the actor who is best known for his long-running role as Viller and then, you know, sage advice giver, Victor Kirakis on Days of Our Lives, but known to soap fans as Jennifer Aniston's dad, he passed away at the age of 89. He actually died on Friday. And Jennifer, it's really a sweet, she said, posted a sweet tribute. She called him one of the most beautiful humans I ever knew, and adding she was grateful he passed peacefully without pain. And she said, sweet Papa John Anthony Aniston, you were one of the most beautiful humans I ever knew. I'm so grateful you went soaring into the heavens in peace and without pain. And on 11/11, no less. You always had perfect timing. The number will forever hold an even greater meaning for me. I'll love you to the end of time. Don't forget to visit.
Aww. And she shared a series of pictures of her and her dad from when she was a baby and a little girl up until like pretty much the present day. Very sweet.
He was born on Crete in 1933. His birth name was Yanis Anastasikas. But when the family moved to the U.S., they anglicized their names. His family settled in Pennsylvania. He went to Pennsylvania State University for theater. After college, he was in the Navy. He began his acting career in the 60s. He married his first wife, Nancy Dow, in 1965, and he and Nancy had Jennifer Aniston. Mm-hmm. And they lived in New York City. They got divorced in 1980, and then he married this woman named Sherry Rooney and became a stepdad to her son, John Malik. And they had another son together, and they remained together until he died last week. And his first soap role was on Days of Our Lives. He played this guy called Eric Richards. And then he played Eddie Alida on Love of Life. And that's where he met Sherry. And then he played. Then he was on Search for Tomorrow. But then in 1975, he became Victor on Days of Our Lives. Ooh. And he was known for his biting sarcasm and witty one-liners. He played the role up until his death, and his last episode will air December 26th.
Oh, I didn't realize he was still the show.
Yes, he was. Wow. He was mostly sitting in a chair, like giving, you know, advice. But yes. Yeah, he was recently honored with the Daytime Emmys, Lifetime Achievement Award for playing Victor. He didn't attend, but Jennifer appeared virtually to accept the award. And of course, Days of Our Lives, you know, they issued a statement. And then when the Television Academy Foundation asked John Aniston about his proudest achievement, he said, "I don't know, some play down the line somewhere, maybe Royal Hunt of the Sun. We did it at Theater East." And then they asked him what his biggest career regret was, and he said, "I didn't get the Ted Baxter role on Mary Tyler Moore."
I see it looking at these flashback pictures.
But you want to know why?
Why?
The network told them, "We can't hire you because the writers don't want any possibility of a romance with Mary. You're too sexy."
He was too hot.
He was too hot.
No, I suppose take the compliment when it's given to you.
Yeah.
I see it where in the 70s, there's this one of these pictures where John is with Jennifer and he's got the mustache and kind of the wild, like 70s hair with the turtleneck and the blazer.
Very sexy devil.
Yeah, Mary Richards would have been like,
Yeah, and the writers were like, "No, we can't write with him in the role. He's got to be this side. There's got to be a doofiness or goofiness."
Well, I have to say, Ted Baxter, strikingly unsexy in the Mary Tyler Moore show.
Very much so. Very much so. So that's a little thing about John Aniston. And so anyway, I can't even, I mean, NBC, they should do a broadcast special of Days of Our Lives. I mean, that's pretty incredible. 45 years or 42 years. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know this was last week, but when I was catching up at Gossip on the airport, I was just like, who did a Jennifer Aniston so dirty on the December, the last print issue of Allure?
Oh, no, you're talking about Jennifer Aniston, the Chanel nippikini.
Yeah, which Kim Kardashian wore 3 years ago.
She got headlines, Lori, all week long. From that Allure cover and the story inside.
And also the fact that why did they go and Iggy Pop her, drag her face and hair and makeup her?
Oh, no, I kind of see it, Lori.
Yes, of course, you can't unsee it.
Oh.
She's way more beautiful than this. They did some draggy Photoshop on her. And these long, but the interview was very good.
Well, like I said, there were headlines that were drawn out from this Allure article the entire week.
Probably the best thing was, you know, I wish someone had told me to freeze my eggs.
Sage wisdom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You don't realize it, but you know what? I'll tell you what. I remember being pretty pissed off when my mom said to me at age 32, I needed to think about kids. I'm like, what are you talking about? TikTok, she said to me. Women don't have all this time.
Well, and think about this. You come into the world with the amount of eggs that you will have.
That's all you have.
Yeah.
I never had thought about that. And because my parents had, you know, they were young, I thought, oh, I could just have a kid whenever. And my mom was like the first person to give me like a reality clang, clang, clang. And I'm like, well, I'm not even married right now, so I can't think about it. Well, knowing you, you'll be married again before you know it. And I was. But anyway, I thought that was like a good thing to come out that she got frank about, you know.
Yeah, she got frank and candid and was just like, this is the reality of my fertility journey.
I'm always interested on, can you get a, you know, can you get a confidential marriage license in California? Because the word has always been that she and Justin Theroux were not legally married. And remember they had the goofy, they took a jet and took all their friends on their honeymoon. There was no divorce decree for TMZ to find.
I don't know California marriage law. However, I have always been operating under the assumption that Jennifer Aniston and Justin Theroux never got legally married. Because if that was the case, folks like TMZ, who literally hang out outside of the Los Angeles County Courthouse and are circling for papers and doing the deep digging, that an outlet like that...
They would have gotten it.
They would have gotten it.
Yeah.
They would have been reporting stuff.
Yeah.
So... I operate under that assumption,
yeah,
it is just an assumption in gossip.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, another assumption in gossip, Dumois, you know, which is, do you read Dumois?
Yes.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's blind Insta on Instagram, but it's a blind columnist like MT Lawyer is, and with unverified sightings and stuff, and spotted, can't believe I'm saying this, anon please, Emirata, which is the online nickname of Emily Ratajkowski for people who follow their gossip, and Pete Davidson on a date in Brooklyn together holding hands. His hands are all over. They're clearly hooking up.
Well, of course they are. You missed the story last week, Lori.
What was it?
That Jay Farrow revealed Pete Davidson's size.
We already know it's huge.
9.
Wow. That's why he and Ariana Grande broke up. They were incompatibly sized. No, it's true.
Well, yeah.
It's true. Everybody has broken up with somebody who's things didn't fit together the way they should have.
Yes, baseball bats and mitts come in all different combinations.
Right. And everybody has broken up with somebody for that reason. Mm-hmm. It's very relatable.
Very.
But Pete Davidson's desirability is one of the most polarizing gossip topics I think you can bring up if you just need to get conversation going, like with a group of friends or something. Is Pete Davidson hot?
You just say his name.
Yes. He's polarizing. People don't agree on him if he's hot or not.
Yeah. I can see that being the case.
Yeah. You either like him or you're like, what? What? Like Brittany and I, we're like, oh yeah.
I get Pete Davidson. Mm-hmm. I totally get it.
Yeah. Where is the magic? All right.
We know where it is.
We'll be right back with Grant is bringing the dirt alert.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Grant, what do you got for us?
All right. All kinds of dirt for this Monday. Snowy, clean Monday afternoon. Okay. But yeah, let's start out with, there's another man, in Hollywood, I would say, in the elites, that wants to work with Britney Spears. Now, you know, she recently teamed up with Elton John for her lovely song, Tiny Dancer.
Yes.
But Simon Cowell has come out and set a plea to work with her again. He's all about this. He was talking with E! News exclusively and basically talked about how they had worked together 10 years ago on the X Factor US version as
a
judge.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know,
and he didn't say one thing, and she was obviously drugged doing that show too.
Yeah.
Remember how disturbed we were? We were on the air, Grant. Dude, we were disturbed.
Because she was...
She was so medicated and so in the zone, and I think Britney would say, screw you, Simon, because you didn't ever try... And say to anybody, hey, how come Britney's so wooden or whatever?
And he actually, while he was talking to someone from E!, he said, hey, in fact, Britney, if you're watching this, please come back, do it with me. It would be amazing. I adore you.
I hope she doesn't instant just burns him.
Yeah.
That Simon Cowell has been thirsty lately.
Yeah,
being
he
like,
sure
I want to do X Factor again in the U.S. I want another chance to make a Fifth Harmony or a One Direction, clearly.
Do you remember that, Holly? Did you ever watch that? That X Factor, because we watched it because Britney was on, and then we also watched the year that Chloe was like whatever she was on there.
The
hostess, the Ryan Seacrest.
That was back
a disaster
in 2011 ish. Mm-hmm. And I remember being aware that Britney Spears was a judge on the X Factor, and when the news broke at the time, thinking that this isn't what I don't know what they're doing with this. Is she in a position where she should be doing this, or what will it add to the show? And I didn't watch it, but I do remember having a curious thought about it.
Yeah, yeah. No, she would have been, her dad would have been medicating her, and she was under the conservatory. So yeah. I hope she twirls in her foyer and answers.
And then writes like a four-page note.
Yeah, and give him the bird or something.
Go ahead, Brittany, tell us, so you know.
Maybe he's trying to...
No, he just answered a question because I think he's trying to get back on X Factor here.
Yes, mm-hmm. He's trying to hustle. He's willing this into being with all of these interviews.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is him just trying to force this down our throats. Got it.
Listen to you, Grant.
Not even... I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Been talking to her at all. Right. I got you. Well, if there ever was a who's who of birthday parties, Leonardo DiCaprio turned 48.
And, all he is? Jesus, 48. Seems like he should be older.
And my gosh, the amount of celebrities that were at his party would just make me just melt. We had Tobey Maguire, Bradley Cooper, Kate Hudson, Rami Malek, Ashton Kutcher, Mick Jagger, Jamie Foxx, LeBron James, just to list a few of all the people out there. I mean, he had a pretty big bash. According to a source, it was a lot of good food, a lot of good drinks, good people just hanging out and celebrating.
Notice no Gigi Hadid spotting.
That was going to be my final point. And Holly, what do you think? Do you think they're dating, or is that all just a...
It's just a PR...
That's a PR thing, and the hot gossip, the blind items indicate that perhaps Yolanda Hadid would really like to make that happen, but this is all a PR thing, and they're just trying to will that into being. Now, Mick Jagger was also at this party.
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I mean, he looked a little bored or a little inebriated. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's just sitting in the back of the car. TMZ has the photographs.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. Rebel Wilson, Casey Affleck, Nikki Hamilton, I mean, Rich Paul. There was, you know, all kinds
of... That sounds like a fun party, man.
Yeah, I would have enjoyed it. His parents were there, you know, George DiCaprio, and I can't pronounce his mom.
And, you know, his dad had that great cameo in Licorice Pizza playing the water bed mattress sales guy that gets...
Oh, I didn't know. And that's why maybe connection with Bradley Cooper, because wasn't he in Licorice Pizza?
Yeah. But Leonardo DiCaprio's dad, if you stay all the way for the end thing, it's like whatever his name is. I'm like, he's the water mattress guy.
That's cool. So that would have been a fun party to go to. I don't see anybody as under the age of 25 there. So it looks like no girlfriends.
But Mario Lopez was there.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Well, you got to keep Baxter on your side or Access Hollywood on your side.
Whatever he's doing these days.
Yeah, Mario. Isn't he had a little bit of a scandal tied to him lately?
No, not for a while. Yeah. The last scandal I can think of with Mario Lopez was all the way back when he was married to Allie Landry.
Yes.
And he cheated right at the beginning of their marriage. And she was like, no.
He like banged the housekeeper.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he came back to the room to get sunscreen, and there was, you know, like, I don't know, somebody who consented and was like, you're hot. And yeah, he got busted on his honeymoon banging somebody in their room.
Yeah, that's not.
Thank you for filling in the details. That's some gossip tag team. Yeah.
Well, speaking of banging in a hotel room, Nick Cannon, and I'm not trying to make fun of him here, but has done that plenty of times, and we finally learned a dollar amount as to what he's paying in child support payments for his 11 kids. He said on a podcast that he spends a lot more than $3 million a year in child support.
Wow.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the numbers would agree with that. Simply by the number of children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder why he wants to have so many children with so many different people.
Well, he said this, that he's defended his unconventional family dynamic in the past by saying that he doesn't think monogamy is a healthy option.
Obviously,
he feels like it gets into the space of selfishness and ownership.
Well, I mean, I don't know. You know, one could argue that having a lot of children with a lot of different people is also like puts a burden of some kind on the kids.
Yes.
You know, to feel like, do I need to get to know these other people who are quote unquote my siblings.
There are going to be complicated family dynamics.
Yeah, I'll say. Notice how Mariah, that, we don't never see rock and roll with them.
No.
With Nick, do we?
No, not at all.
Those twins were back in April of 2011.
Yeah, Mariah is just saying to those kids, those are not your brothers and sisters and you're never meeting them. I'm sorry, I can hear her saying that.
Yeah, good for her.
I just can see her saying that, but other people would say, no, that's your siblings. Oh. It's complicated.
Yes, very, very complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll go on to this one here. This one's kind of fun. Christina Applegate is honored on the Walk of Fame. She got her own Hollywood star. Now, this was the first event, and it was a very emotional one since her MS diagnosis.
Oh, it's the first time she's
Been out in public doing anything, and, you know, she made fun
of... Was Katie Sagal there?
Yes.
And Linda Cardellini?
Yes, Katie Sagal was there, and she spoke on behalf, and she said...
Bundy.
Yeah, she said, you're so effing famous. You know, humility, humor, grace, fortitude, bravery, and telling her she's been highly on my list of teachers since she was 16. So she's been, you know, obviously...
Yeah. Has anyone watched Dead to Me? Has it started yet? Or maybe it's next week? The 17th or 18th, I think. It's not out yet.
I can't confirm. You know, I haven't watched Dead to Me, but folks, I have heard that everyone who likes it, you know, is just like, it's all in. Now, it's coming out on Friday.
On Friday.
November 17th is when season three, or Thursday, excuse me.
There
Yeah. Well deserved for Christina Applegate. She's been in the business since she was a baby.
Yeah.
You know, and a kindergarten, I think I read. She got her SAG card.
Yeah. So she's been working for decades. So, you know, very well deserved.
And we'll wrap this one up with Jeff Bezos is finally giving away some of his money.
What's he doing?
He gave away $100 million to Dolly Parton when she accepted the Bezos Award for Courage and Civility on Saturday, which he gave her $100 million because she's done such a good job.
And is she going to give it away?
Yeah. He's giving her the $100 million
for
to say
her to give away.
To give away. To
do what she wants. Speak is that he needs Dolly Parton's good PR.
Yes.
Because they're like, oh, no.
Because Mackenzie is over there just showing him how to give away money like a billionaire. And there's old Jeff. Oh, here's a paltry $100 million.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it looks like.
Well, yes.
And Dolly Parton, like you said, you put that name.
Yeah.
Good. She's like, okay, fine. I will put this to good use. I suppose you can build yourself another Schweinus rocket ship.
Right. All right, what's happening on the roads? We're just going slow and taking it. So this is really going to be something for Sex Monday. So I have to say that I was greedy. Casey and I were greedy because, you know, we got home at like Saturday at like 5:30. And I love that Cancun. It's only, you know, a 4-hour flight away. It really
is. It's easy.
Did
you take a nonstop flight?
Yes, of course. So anyway, so we watched 2 episodes of The Crown on Saturday and then 3 yesterday. And in the 4th episode of The Crown, and I just love that show so, so much. It's just so good. But in The Crown, episode 4, the story that comes up is Sarah Ferguson, who's married to Prince Andrew. And the conversation that comes up is and it's titled Annus Horribilis, which is the Queen's. It's the year that 3 of her 4 children want separations. It's the year there's a fire at Windsor Castle. It's the year that that a poll is out and that people think the monarchy is dusty. You know, and the year is 1992.
Yeah, and that perhaps she should step aside
for Charles.
For Charles. That's boy. Same as it ever was. Where have we heard that conversation before?
Exactly. Only every single time. So in this, so James Murray plays Prince Andrew, and he approaches his dear mummy, and they all call her mummy, and Imelda Staunton is playing Queen Elizabeth at the age of 65. And Imelda is probably best known for the movie Vera Drake.
Yes.
And wonderful in that. And she's also married to Mr. Carson from Downton Abbey.
She sure is.
You know, that actor. Yes. They've been married a long time, but she's very, very good. And it is such a funny scene. And he begs the queen to allow him for a divorce. He said, you know, Sarah has had enough, and there's another one. There's a financial advisor, John Bryan, with photographs to come. And the queen says, oh, for heaven's sakes. And then he says, oh, you don't want to know. In Saint-Tropez, doing something unmentionable. And the queen says, you're right, I don't want to know. Andrew quickly blurts out, sucking Sarah's toes, mummy.
Oh!
And then he says, I know people tell me I'm putting my foot into it from time to time, but at least I don't put it into someone else's mouth. And then the queen says, now this is good writing. If he was that hungry, he could have just ordered a sandwich or some sole, the queen quips.
Oh my gosh.
And then, you know, like the next day they show the photo that actually was published in the Daily Mail.
I'm looking at this photograph right now.
Yeah.
It is so tame. He's not even sucking on a toe.
He's just caressing and kissing her toe.
Exactly. It's just the sole of the foot.
Right.
You know, good pun on the queen's part.
And I mean, Prince Philip, he always hated Sarah. And, you know, and he thought she brought great shame because these photos were taken. And I thought, well, now, wait a minute.
Yeah.
A good 10% of people, I did a little Googling, more than 10% of people keep foot fetishes a secret. And I realized this when Larsa Pippen on The Real Housewives of Miami said when she started her OnlyFans, she accidentally found out that she could make a lot of money because people were enamored of her pretty toes and her feet, how they looked.
Just because people aren't talking about the toes doesn't mean that they don't have a taste for
it. That's right. So I want to thank you, Holly, because I want to, I mean, anything that isn't deemed, quote unquote, a sexual norm, you know, or isn't widely talked about always has a stigma or a shame wrapped around it. And toe sucking and foot play is, you know, can be, like, you know, I remember one time accidentally discovering how great and limber my toes were when they were in my high school boyfriend's lap. Okay.
Okay.
I'm not saying that either one, but I mean, it was just like,
wow. Did you learn how to use a pencil?
Yeah.
A thick marker, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But people are hesitant to talk about this kind of thing. Because anything that we don't talk about, and then so like if you did want to bring it up now in the, it's called shrimping. If you were looking on a site for, you know, how, what to call that?
Well, what is shrimping?
Shrimping is basically toe sucking.
Oh,
it's basically you know, treating. I mean, think about how phallic your toes are anyway.
That's true.
You know, each and every one of them in some way. And if you devote the same sort of attention to them as you would anything else that one would lovingly kiss or...
I mean, I think it would be more like eating some edamame rather than shrimp.
But, okay, so if you are, I just, you know, if it's not, if it's... People are embarrassed to bring this up.
I get that. It's out of the norm, but it isn't out of the norm because so many people have that fetish. They just don't talk about it.
Right. Or you could just be even like, I mean.
I suppose toes are very polarizing.
Yes.
You either love feet or you hate them and think that they're disgusting because you hear. I mean, you hear more people saying feet are gross than...
But they're not. They're very sexually alluring.
I mean, I showed you a picture of Elvis's foot once.
Oh, my God. I went crazy. A beautiful feet. I mean, beautiful feet. And nearly half of fetishes are associated with feet.
Yeah.
And different people have different reasons to being attracted to feet on a sexual level. And so if you do want to bring up toe sucking or foot play with the partner... Here's how to do it.
Ooh, oh,
okay.
Taking notes. Yeah.
Just where, when, and where you bring it up outside of the bedroom.
Yeah. Not in the moment. Got it. Makes sense. It's an awkward moment. Yep.
Yeah. You just bring it up outside of the bedroom when you're both relaxed. Now, if this is just somebody you're having a weekender with or a late nighter with, then, you know, I mean,
you'll figure
it out in the moment of lust.
Test the waters.
But like, let's say this is with someone that you're a partner with. So outside of the bedroom when you're relaxed and you can talk about it. And if you just, it's not about the words we say, but it's about how we say them. So you just say why it is that you're, I think your feet are beautiful, or I have this overwhelming urge to suck your big toe, like I want to suck, you know, blah, blah, blah. However you want to say it.
Okay. But hey, it works.
It works. consent, as long as everybody agrees, you know. So just be open about what you're into. I guess I would say. But yeah, I think I know, like, I'll just think of any time my mom and I have ever gone on a trip that involves a pool deck or a beach. We are on high toe alert. We are on foot alert like you wouldn't believe. Well, because we'll look at the feet and then we go up the leg up to the, and we look at everything and then we go back to the feet. We're just, and then if somebody's
got
feet.
And you use your imagination.
Yeah, but if someone has feet that make no sense, they're too little for their body, they're puffy like a toddler, or they're badly looking, you know, but if they're sexy and strong looking, it can be quite exciting. And, you know, my mom, and she's been a widow now for a long time, so she's got to get her cheap thrills at the pool.
Glad you can provide.
Hey, yeah. To each their own, and you know what? If you like it, don't hesitate to ask, because you'll never get it if you don't ask.
But it was a funny scene in The Crown last night. But again, Sarah Ferguson was so shamed. And when you do look at that photo, they're like, having an affair, obviously, with her financial advisor. And he's put on lotion on her leg or oil. And they're like in the Riviera at some place, you know, nice, and a long lens, and he like picks up her foot and gives it a kiss.
Yeah.
I mean, who isn't wanted to be nibbled from head to toe?
Right. It's just it's an attraction to your entire body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know a friend of mine who split up from her husband. I said, why is he always so nasty to you? And she goes, I covered him in whipped cream once and ate him from head to toe. And I think every time he sees me, that's all he can think about. And I'm like, okay, I'll buy that, you know? Anyway, so I just was like, okay, when that came up in The Crown, I was like, I need to bring this to the table today.
Little toe talk.
Little toe talk.
Thank you.
TED talk.
TED talk on shrimping. We'll be right back. Dionne Warwick tweeted out this afternoon, I will be dating Pete Davidson next.
Okay.
Love Dionne.
Let us know how that goes. We want a full report, please.
So good. Okay, Graham posted, there's something called the Baby to Baby Gala in L.A., which it's become one of the most A-list charity events in L.A. in recent years. It helps families in poverty, get things that they need.
Diapers. And baby essentials, yes, formula, exactly. all that stuff.
So it was like, we posted the red carpet, and Kim Kardashian wore Barbiecore pink Balenciaga gown, which felt super like a lot for a charity gala. Mm-hmm. It felt very like maybe a step dressy, but it's so pretty on her, and she looks so good in it.
Yeah,
she looks great. Olivia Wilde had the worst dress. She had a tube sock stretched around her. She's making all of her fashion about her very flat chest.
It needs, I don't hate it as much as you do, Lori.
It's a tube sock with a ball skirt.
It just needs something. Yeah. It feels
a
like
necklace,
it's a it's a half finished thought of a gown.
It's really, really bad. I don't know why she's doing that. There were five women in Monique Lhuillier, Maria Menounos, your girlfriend Alexandria Daddario. Oh. Jenna Dewan, Alexandra Ambrosia, and Camilla Luddington. I'm not sure what actor.
Well, all the Monique Lhuillier gowns look fantastic.
They are really beautiful. Rachel Zoe looked amazing in vintage Jean Baptiste Valley. And then Kerry Washington was kind of va-va-voom in some polka dots. Anita, the singer with two T's. She's in vintage Dolce & Gabbana. Anyway, it was a fun red carpet.
Very. And everyone, I don't hate Olivia Wilde as much as you do.
Oh, that's bad. It's so bad.
There are a few others that I'm like, well, you know what? You tried. That's great.
Yeah. I don't know why someone would think a bandeau top with a ball skirt and so much expanse of a stomach is a good charity gala look.
Well, no, it's a little too edgy for this event. You know, I didn't notice a lot of people wearing florals and colors.
This isn't the beach, Olivia.
No. And also, as a person who is all of the small chest variety, I would never wear a top like that.
Yeah, I know it.
I just would never.
It's bad.
Well, question is, like, the idea of showing shoulders and the neck. Is that what she was maybe? I mean, that's when I saw it. I was like, I really liked her shoulders. And I don't know.
She's been making everything about her chest.
She has. Yes. I mean, she wore that clear, pretty much see-through thing.
Yeah. And there are certain things that when you have a smaller chest, you can wear and you can pull off.
Yeah.
There's a line, I suppose, of what, you know, look, just because you can doesn't mean that you should.
Did you like Don't Worry, Darling?
I haven't watched it.
You haven't even watched it yet.
I haven't bothered to watch it.
Yeah. God, my brother really liked it.
Really?
Well, he just liked it because he liked, he said, I wanted to go there, and he didn't think that Harry was old and ugly for that long.
Wow, that is a resounding endorsement of Don't Worry, Darling. Gotta catch it soon.
Wait, no. I could get a better one, maybe. Here's what it said. What did he say? I don't know.
I bet it's just fine.
It probably is. Mm-hmm. I probably should watch it, but I
what? Just, Don't Worry, Darling.
Yeah.
Oh, we had a we talked about it last week.
Did anyone end up watching it?
We not none of us, but we had a couple callers call in to say that they would not like their 3 hours or their 2 hours back.
It's, they didn't like it at all.
Yeah, not at all. This is just two callers that were like, nope, tried it. Definitely don't like it. But hey, to each their own.
We do this. I remember doing this with The Lone Ranger, talking about that movie forever.
Oh my gosh.
And then when it came out, my mom went and saw it right away with my brother, and she called me up and she said, don't go see that horrible movie.
I mean, that was one of those movies where they just tried to make Armie Hammer into a movie star. They tried and they tried and they tried, and it just never really worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yet so charming on the red carpet.
Well, okay, so you can be a good celebrity, a good charmer.
Yeah, as but we be a wooden actor, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know.
God, so much of it is image.
Yes.
And what do people read off of you?
Oh, of course, and image management. And, you know, they tried with Armie Hammer, and then he kind of let his real self be revealed. I remember there's a celebrity profile written about him, very thoughtful, by this woman that I really like. Her name is Anne Helen Peterson. She's a cultural writer. Mm-hmm. She's great. She wrote for BuzzFeed this profile on Armie Hammer, and it was a fair assessment of his celebrity.
Did he get
fame
for his kink, or was it because he was married?
No, and it didn't have anything.
It had nothing
to do with his sex, and had everything to do with how Hollywood was trying to construct Armie Hammer as a movie star, and that it just wasn't working. Well, he retaliated and clapped back at her directly.
Oh, really?
On Twitter, and it was like, hey.
Wow.
You know, a little defensive here. Mm-hmm. And it was like, well, clearly you didn't read this because it wasn't a diss against you. It was more about here's the Hollywood system that's trying to take this quote unquote handsome guy and shoehorn him into being a movie star.
And it's just not working. Hollywood system.
Yes, there still is. It's not the old, like, you know, Jack Warner, Louis B. Mayer system. Right.
But it still works. Fixers and the PR and the spin and how everything is going to be working and how we're going to divert and all of that. Mm-hmm. It's not organic.
Yeah.
I did really love Jennifer Lopez's whatever she was on the magazine cover. Was it Vogue or last week?
Oh, yes. She is in the latest December issue of Vogue.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and she is a person who can play the celebrity game.
Boy, does she ever. She's very good at it.
Very.
And very likable.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Anyway. Well, Holly, thank you for filling in for Julia, who had no voice. Very bad.
You know, that's awkward if you're on the radio and you don't have a voice.
Yeah, you don't have a voice, or you just sound like a very croaky, you know, like you're like nails on a chalkboard. I'm like, don't talk anymore. I'll just, you know, it's terrible.
Well,
really
and look, if we have learned anything in the past couple of years, it's just like, if you're not feeling well, take a step back.
Yeah, I know.
And take care of yourself.
That used to be frowned upon. Go to work no matter what. Make everybody sick. Now people are really,
you're
not feeling well.
Stay away.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for all of America not to use all their sick days
on. That is a great platform.
Use all your sick days, people.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Be mindful. And we hope that she's resting, getting her hydration and sleep and watching a delicious television show.
I'm sure she caught up. What is this?
No! No!
I knew this would get Holly pissed.
No! Where's the water bottle? Stop.
Rant. I was like, what song is that? That sounds so familiar.
I just had to do it for the snow ride home. That's all.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Holly.
Yep.
See you guys. Job done. Off you go.
For 9 years, a dangerous man terrorized women, breaking into homes and raping his victims before killing a brilliant young scientist in 1998.
The more the victims resisted, the more violent he became.
Then he suddenly stops, leaving police with a lot of clues and one unknown subject.
I'm Paul Wagner. Join me for Unknown Subject, Season 3 of WTOP's American Nightmare podcast series. Search American Nightmare Podcast on all podcast platforms today.